I know Tutu will be there. I cannot make that show. The wife has a convention in New York City. So
right now I'm a little bummed, but after the trip out to South Bend, I might not be so bummed.
What about that? I can't make it?
Yeah. We're going to spend like 20 hours together in a car. So, you know, that might change that I'm bummed that you're not going to be there.
You're a real piece of shit. You know that, Justin? Fuck you.
I'm not saying it's fact. I'm saying,
you know what,
man?
I hope you go and I hope you get a really, you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen? Like, you go to the show, you're at the show, you're having a good time. What's the worst case scenario that can happen to you while you're at a show? I hope you get a fucking terrible bout of diarrhea, you prick, and you have to go back and forth to the bathroom for like 5 hours. I just put the malarkey on you now.
Rob, you know I love you, man. I'm just going by what everybody else is telling me.
About what?
About driving all the way out. I hope my brother's Explorer has a sunroof so we can keep it ventilated all the time.
Dude, remember this. Let the illusion go. It's all a fucking gig.
Nah, man. I'm excited.
Dude, Now I'm going to make sure that I do eat a lot of gassy foods before I get in the car with you. Guys, welcome to the Modern Insanity Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Riv. I'm with my co-host, Mr. Justin Ryan.
Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Rob Adams.
Yo, yo.
Mr. Frank Donati.
Heyo.
And Mr. Steve Santucci.
Hello.
And we have a special guest here for episode 14. He's a good friend of mine. He's also known within the AMPS community, Mr. John Chavitt. And we're going to be talking everything AMPS right now at the beginning of this episode. Also talking about AMPS National. So good to have you, John.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on here, Rob.
John, welcome aboard, man. I am new to the whole AMPS thing.
Okay.
Never been affiliated to anything. Kind of joined the MFCA club just because they were the first I came across. So I'm looking forward to this AMPS show we're coming up on.
Well, hopefully we don't disappoint you, and I don't think we will.
It takes a lot to disappoint me. I don't ever set my sights very high.
He's a fanboy of everything.
Well, I am going to pick up Justin. So on the way to AMPS Nationals in South Bend, Indiana this year, I will be driving to Justin Ryan's house to pick him up as well as get Lou. And hopefully the ride is as painless as possible. Right, Justin?
Absolutely. It'll be all right. It's going to be fun.
He's actually going to be driving, so he might kick me out on the ride down there.
Don't forget about Lou.
Don't forget Lou.
All right. So John, I know that there's a process of getting the AMPS Nationals, but also your background in the group. Just give a brief background if anybody maybe doesn't know you, your background with AMPS, how you got involved with AMPS. I know you were once president of AMPS and hold executive board positions, but you're the co-chair of this national show. So just give a background about AMPS and also how you got the show at South Bend.
Well, I attended my first AMPS show back in 2002. I wanted to go to the 2001 show, but I didn't get off my fat ass at the right amount of time. So did that show, missed the 2003 show because this little thing called Operation Iraqi Freedom, and I was sitting, put my butt in Kuwait hanging out there, and then kind of went forward from there. This is the fifth show that I have been part of running. Did the 2009 show, the 2012 show, 2015 show, fourth show, and then the show here in 2024. And actually, it was my partner in crime, Chuck Aylshire, that was really supposed to be running the show, but then he's like, hey, I got the show, do you think? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll help you out. And Chuck and I have run basically the 2012, 2015, and now this show. So we kind of understand each other. We worked together real closely when he was the first VP and I was my first couple years as president. So had a good rapport going on. As I alluded to, basically I got into modeling really because, well, when I was a kid, like most everybody else did, and then found sports and female the species and, you know, such. Took a break. Basically started right back up right as I got ready to go in the Army as an armor officer. Did 21 years there, so I got to hang around my subjects and stuff, but unfortunately didn't start taking a lot of pictures till after I retired, so, oh well, I guess that's just the way it goes. You guys want to hear about AMPS? It's a great society. It's not to the size of IPMS USA, but it just focuses on military vehicle-related themes, models, dioramas, vignettes, basically from the turn of the 19th century to the present day. So we got 24, 18 categories. Basically, you can build anything from tanks to armored cars, artillery pieces. You can potentially even do the Warhammer 40K tanks. We have a sci-fi category. And basically, the way we do things is model competes against a set of rules. Models don't compete against each other. There's a set criteria out there, and that's what the judges use to look at every model. It's like a 10-step process to, you know, look at the build, the paint job, the weathering. If there's a, you know, research, if you use research, what was that? And that's an optional piece of it. And then we award the medals accordingly. If you bring in five models, as long as they're not in the same category, you could potentially walk away with five gold medals. I've seen that happen plenty of times.
If they're in the same category, but it's still a gold, 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 then...
You only get one.
You only get one?
Yeah, the highest scoring model gets the... You know, if you have one or two or more models in that category, only the highest scoring one gets the medal.
Okay, gotcha.
And if they all get golds, then they just choose one out of the mix. Or like the highest, if you had all 30s, they just take one of them and you get the medal.
Right, okay. No, that makes sense.
I just wanted to throw in there, MFCA Club, we do the same thing for our show.
Okay.
It's not individual models. It is per grouping. So you put five in historical miniature, you get, they're all judged. They pick the best one out of that five. The same with the fantasy painter, fantasy. You put multiples in that category, they pick the best of your grouping.
I think that's a good clarification, though, because when you're talking about the original set of rules, you put it in, it gets judged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You get a score. But if you enter in the same category,
Yeah, it's in the rules. I won't say it's hard to find, but it's, you know, you have to basically look for it to see, okay, now you see that.
No, that's a good thing to clear up, though, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that makes us different than other organizations, basically what Justin said about his organization, we will guarantee if you judge, you will leave there being a better modeler.
Absolutely.
That I agree with.
You're going to sit there and you're going to look at, during a normal judging session, 15, maybe 20 models, and you're going through the evaluation criteria. Okay, first time I judged in 2002, it was an epiphany of like, okay, well, maybe they won't see that floating road wheel. Yeah, right.
You know, like, that's a good point, though, John, about the judging. And we've talked about judging at AMPS before on our show, and I know other podcasts have discussed that as well. But like you said, you will leave a better model if you've never judged that way before. And it's not a perfect system. There's no perfect system out there. No. But it's a better system. It's a better system, in my opinion. You just saw recently all the issues that occurred at the IPMS Nationals. We're not going to get into all that nuts again. Because Riv's going to go on a rant, and I don't want to do
Thank
that with
goodness.
John here. But John is right, though. And as someone who's been in AMPS for quite a while myself and who's gone through the process and also now ACJs at the national level, I can honestly say that when I see people come in for the first time judging, they come in nervous. They don't know what to do. We kind of ease it in there. And by the time they leave that first session, they can't wait to do a second session because they had so much fun and they enjoyed it.
And again, we do not need the experts in particular vehicles. We just need someone who's a good modeler. I could take an airplane modeler and teach them how to judge armor models.
You're looking for the same things, regardless of what model it is, right? Glue marks, alignment issues, you know, seams, mold lines, all that shit.
Yeah. Modeling is modeling. The subject is, you know, basically just what sets it apart. The skills are basically the same, you know, in every type of modeling.
Construction-wise, paint-wise is a little different.
Well, yeah, that's...
You know, those car guys, they get them fucking mirror polish finishes. It takes me... I usually have to strip a paint job five times before I'm even somewhat satisfied with it.
But the thing with AMPS, and I know John's going to try to allude to this, is that it's not supposed to be subjective. There's a reason why the scorecards that people use, we use at AMPS, is detailed the way it is, right?
Right, yeah.
You get 5 points is for the build. Spread out between basic construction down to the tracks and whatnot. Then you get 4 points for paint work, continuity, the way your markings are. And there's that one rogue point that is what gets people confused, I think, John, is that scope of effort point. Because there's a reason why the build is the most, painting is 4 points, and then that scope of effort is that rogue point that used to be the construction point. Remember, John, where it was to be like super detailing aftermarket, right, 4 to 8 points. So now it's just called scope of effort.
Right. Basically, if I was leading a table, you know, I'm kind of one of the things of, you know, what we're looking at is someone's work of love, for lack of a better thing. They put all their heart into it, and there it is. Whether I think it's good or I think it's bad or whatever, you know, someone felt that they need to go and get that on the table and get it judged. So my philosophy has always been tie goes to the modeler. It's not going to hurt me if my table would give away 100 gold medals or they gave away, you know, gave away two. If it meets the criteria, give it to them. But if it's a toss-up, give them the point. And again, you got other people that, you know, are like little old ladies and, you know, they're stingy about every point. Maybe I don't want to give them that point because, or they evaluate it against their work and, you know, they get a little bit butthurt of someone did it better.
Those are the ones that get pissed off when they don't get perfect.
What I have found is modelers are a cheap bunch. And the second piece, they can't do math unless they're counting money.
Right.
Because we got a very simple, you know, 1 to 10, and, okay, we'll let you take half points, and then you got guys that'll, you know, and add, you know, 3.5 and 4.5 to get 8. And it's like, right, what the hell is wrong with you guys?
And the idea, too, is you're not supposed to try to interpret what the intention is of the model. You're judging what's in front of you, and you're not supposed to interject what you would do on that model. When I ECJ and I'm walking around and I hear people saying, well, if I did this model, I would do this. And I say, no, it's not about what you would do. It's about what they did. And you're not supposed to interpret what you think they should have done. Yeah. It's what you see in front of you. And right, that's one thing that I think as a hobby and also as an organization, as AMPS, I think we've been doing a very good job at judging and trying to promote people to improve. That's what AMPS is about when it comes to judging. That's why there's a skill level based system, is beginner or basic, as well as intermediate and advanced. It's supposed to give people an ability to strive for. Now, they're not competing against anybody else unless you get to that next level of like the best ofs, but that's a whole nother ball game. When it comes to just the basic judging at AMPS, you're being judged on what your skill level is, what you've done. And it's not the judge's job to interpret what you were doing. You're supposed to be judged on what they see in front of them.
You know, if they want to talk, hey, here's what I would have done, you do it after the model's off the table.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to say something funny here. You said, oh, experts. Don't let Kirk Lachlan judge anything or come in the room. Talk about Russian armor.
I've had him judge a couple of my models before, and I got, you know, I got thumped by Kurt. It's like, okay,
he's
whatever.
He's a wealth of knowledge. He's a great guy, yeah, but I know he's a pain in the neck when it comes to stuff, though, when it comes to historical accuracy.
I just got to get this one Kurt Lachlan story in there.
Get it, please.
Whenever I see him going off or basically during the Kurt Lachlan on someone either online or in a discussion group, the funny thing is I see the words, but I hear his voice. It's like, yeah. What are you doing that for?
Spitting image of John Malkovich.
Exactly.
Think of John Malkovich looking at your model and giving you a critique. That's Kurt.
You know, one of the other things with judging at AMPS is like when you first start up, they're like 4 minutes per model. That's it. Right?
They go over that, though. There's leeway in it.
There is. But what I'm saying was when you first start and when everybody first starts, even if you've done it before, the first hour or two, everybody's like staring at these things. And then you start realizing shit's piling up. So you got to get through them.
You know, within the first 2 minutes of looking at a model, how well it's built.
Right. It doesn't take long. But once you know what you're looking for, that's when...
When you start exceeding the 4 to 5 minute mark, now you're looking for things to take points off of. Some of the problems that people have at AMPS when they're judging is not that they're starting at 10 and they're taking points away. That's not how it is. You earn as you go. You're earning points. You're not losing points. So when you get to that 4.5, 5 minute mark and they're still looking at a model, they're not looking to help the model. They're looking to hurt the model by taking points.
Right. Yeah, right, John? I agree.
Or they're chasing squirrels. They've gone down a rabbit hole. And again, with the AMP system, you want a experienced table captain kind of leading the thing. And it's the guy who's going to keep them on task. And Rob just hit the nail on the head. It's, you look at a model and stuff, and, you know, you can figure out, hey, okay, this is the good stuff. Here's the bad stuff. Or here's the stuff that, you know, potentially is going to impact the score and go from there. And then you're getting back to judging. Then you have probably the most important thing, you know, that AMPS does that really sets itself apart from other organizations are the comments.
Right.
you know, providing comments back to the modeler to, you know, really, I always say, if you're taking away a point, you better tell them why you're taking away a point.
Exactly.
Yeah. The feedback is valuable, and that's what a lot of people want from IPMS, right? They do.
They don't have the time to do it at IPMS. That's the problem. They're not sitting
down. That is the problem.
Right, but you're never going to get that at IPMS. You're never going to get it.
However, IPMS does offer, there's somebody there, a judge, that you can bring your model up, place it in front of him, and he'll tell you everything that he sees with it. So you're getting judged.
Yeah, so shoot, this is back in 2007. I was just in line to be the chief judge for the 2008 show, and basically AMPS got invited out to Orange County, California for when they held the Nationals out there, and it was like, hey, John, we need you to do a presentation on AMPS judging at the IPMS. And I was like, holy shit, hopefully I won't get lynched on the way out.
That How did that go? Know.
Actually, it went pretty good, and the armor judge at the time, Art Gerber, came up. He's like, hey, you know, I like what you said, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you didn't go and disparage us. I'm like, you know, I was all ready to until I read the IPMS rules. In the end, goal is the same, to make better modelers. So how they judge works for IPMS, okay? And again, if you go to IPMS Nationals expecting to get AMPS-level comments and stuff, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
You hit the nail on the head, Rob. They don't have the time.
They don't have the time. And what happens is when you see that pit fill up with models on a day one of a show, and leading up to this is going to be a good segue here, because this show is at South Bend, Indiana. It's centrally located, and it's got the potential to have record numbers. Record numbers for an AMPS is not like record numbers at IPMS, because there's, you know, models across all genres of the hobby. We're talking about this armor. So if we get 800 models at this AMPS Nationals on a three-day show, Thursdays, you know, Thursdays are a wash of a day because that's a travel day. People come in late. People don't usually enter their models a lot on Thursdays. It's the Friday where people enter their models. 7 o'clock at night, everybody's running out. They want to go eat. They want to go to the bar. They want to hang out. And there's 150 to 250 models in the pit that need to be judged either early morning on Saturday, because remember, the show's done Saturday afternoon. That's not including all the models that might come in Saturday morning. Sometimes you get a lot of models, sometimes you don't. But there's still 250 in the pit. So that's what happens when you spend too much time judging models and you sit there 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes on a model. That impacts how many models can get judged by that Friday evening. And then what happens sometimes, and John will tell you, how many times, John, have we come and said, you know what, it's 10 o'clock at night. Who wants to judge? And we're sitting there judging models until 1 o'clock in the morning. So models aren't just sitting waiting to be judged in the morning. And you don't want the same judges judging all the models. You want a varied amount of judges.
Right.
You want to have it, you know, spread out between X amount of people, because you don't want like only 10 guys influencing the scores on 150 to 200 models. You just don't want that.
Like our AMP show that I go to, it's teams of 3, not 4.
Mm-hmm. Should be 4, though.
It should be 4, but there's just not enough people.
Yeah.
John, why do they have a 4-man team to judge an AMPS?
The original goal was to be able to basically throw out the outlier, because what we try to do is try to keep all the scores close, but occasionally you're going to have someone that could be feel very strongly about giving someone a point where everybody else did, or taking away a point when everybody said they should get it. And Rob, what I'll tell you is my local show, we do 3-man teams, probably for the same reason that you do them, is we just don't have the dudes showing up.
So rather than having 2 teams of 4, we have 3 teams of 3. So that does give you that variation that you're wanting from a team, right? It's just a matter of manpower.
I'll digress a little bit. And those are the times when, you know, at my local show here in Oklahoma City, I'll go back and start pounding on the judges because, you know, I got some weird scores. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? We have one guy who's, you know, basically in his 70s that will just rip junior modelers. And I'm like, Bill, what the hell are you doing? He's a junior modeler, for God's sake. We want him to come back. So just give him a gold, okay? Oh, never mind. I'm going to give him a gold.
That's horseshit, you know, that kind of
stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so for instance, for advanced, you need to get a 28 or higher for a gold medal, right, John?
Yeah, so at a 27.5 for an advanced modeler, 27 for an intermediate, and I think it's 26.5 for a basic. Yeah, it's basically your 90% model.
Right. You're supposed to judge the model the same across the board, and the score dictates the award that they get. But when someone's a basic modeler, you're going to give more encouragement. You're not going to kill these people when you're scoring. Same thing when intermediate modeler, you start getting a little harder, but they're intermediate, and You know, you're going to give some criticism, but you're also going to give some advice. When you're an advanced modeler, you need to have thick skin, because now you're trying to come off as an advanced modeler. If you're going to get a gold, you need to have a good model. And if you're going to get a 30 to get into the best of consideration, you need to have a near damn perfect model. Because once you go through that second level and you go, when we meet at like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, John, and we're doing best of judging, and there's 35 models out of 700 that have made the 30s to get to that second level, those models are the best of the best. Not only are those people being in consideration for best of in their categories, but they're also going to be in consideration for a best in show master. Now, if you're going to be a master in amps, you'd better damn well have a perfect model across the board. Not saying that every model is perfect that gets a 30, but it better be near perfect. And that's the separation that we have in amps when it comes to getting a perfect 30 and getting consideration for a best of. I'm sorry, John, I'm overtaking the interview, but we're talking amps, you know, I'm passionate about it, you know?
You've done best of judging.
And I've won best ofs at nationals too. I've been lucky enough to win a best ofs at the national level as well. So I know what needs to happen for my model to be in consideration for it, so.
I'm not quite as lucky as you. I got one of my models into the best of competition, but I lost to Neil Stokes. So it's like, okay, whatever.
Neil winning best of, there was some hoodwinks going on there.
What do you think it was? It was Russian armor. So neither here nor there. And again, Rob kind of summed it up with the, you know, kind of with our categories of, or excuse me, our levels of modeler. If it's your first time showing up, which I get three of you guys are going to be the first time.
I'm going in basic.
Okay, well, that's a technique. I would say my recommendation would have been intermediate. Look at the amps rules, and if you're doing the stuff in the advanced category, put yourself in advance.
That's actually where I struggled. When I went to amps, I entered my shit in intermediate. I'm a pretty good builder and a pretty good painter and everything. But what it said in the rules was like updating or accurizing or aftermarket, all those things, right? And I was like, I'm not doing any of this. It's all out of box.
You know what they say? And I know that Mike Petty used to say this when he was head judge. The best way to determine the category or the level of skill at an amp show that you should be at is how well you do at IPMS shows. If you've won first or been in one best ofs or whatever at an IPMS level show, you're an advanced modeler.
Right. Well, hell yeah.
So working with aftermarket or working with photo etch and things like that is not necessarily a gauge of how well of a model you are, because you can work with photo etch and aftermarket and not do it well. Doesn't mean you're doing it well. You can use aftermarket and do a shit job. It doesn't matter.
Now, here's the thing, Rob. At PenCon last year, I put in a figure. I won best figure of the show. I put that same thing a month later in PaxCon. It didn't even get a gold.
Well, PaxCon was gold, silver, bronze, 1, 2, 3, or gold, silver, bronze. Anybody can win gold, silver, bronze.
Gold, silver, bronze, just like PenCon. And they're both IPMS shows.
Wait, time out. So gold, silver, bronze, meaning gold represents first place? Or gold
First, second, third.
No.
No?
There were multiple golds, multiple silvers, multiple bronzes awarded.
Wait, hold on. So you won best figure at, let's say, PenCon, and you go to PaxCon, it doesn't even win a medal?
It won a silver, I think.
Hey, well, it's any given Sunday.
That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, if we go by your rule of if you've won a best of at any IPMS show, but I entered that same thing into two different shows just to see how it goes. One, it won best of. The other one, it only got a silver.
Right, but that's not saying that you can't win silver in advance.
I wanted to finish my point, which is
sorry,
like...
Rob.
Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead, Rob.
But about where to enter your model. So I always entered in intermediate. According to the rules, I wasn't doing any of that shit. And all the good comments, because you get feedback and you get the good comment, right? That's what you're required to leave as a judge. At least that's what I'm understood. You leave a good comment and something to they could work on, right? All they all said was you should be an advanced. That's what they all said.
Right, but if you're getting a 7.5 from a judge and they're taking off 2.5 points off of your score, that's a significant cut. That's a quarter of your points they removed. They better have a reason for taking off a quarter of your score. So if they're just writing, you know, your tracks are twisted, but they took off 2.5 points, they better give you a reason why they took a point off of your tracks, a point off for construction, a half a point for weathering or whatever. They better give a reason for that. That's what the comment section's there. You're supposed to have people commend you for things, but it's also give you advice on how to maybe improve. That's what it's about.
And that's what's called constructive criticism, and that's a fucking good thing.
Right. Right. Rob Adams, hold on, I got to get this in there.
Oh,
Rob
shut
Adams
up.
Is feeling good right now, if you can tell. He's got his eyes are closing, and he's starting to slur his words a little bit. It's that time of day on a Sunday for Rob. This is, people go to church on Sundays. Rob goes to, you know, fantasy land on Sundays sometimes. He's feeling good.
Hey, you know what? It's just, I'm passionate about this too. I'm really looking forward to coming down to this national event, because I've always been a big proponent of the way that this judging system is done.
Right.
And all of that, right? I love it.
Yeah.
So let's get back to John. This is his time. He's our guest.
Right. Sorry. I apologize.
Stop being so damn Canadian, Rob. No need to apologize.
So, John, I want to ask you this quick question. What's the process of getting a NAMPS Nationals? Like, you got it in South Bend. I know you've done a Nationals in the past, but this specific show in South Bend, which I know is going to be great because it's centrally located. What was the process for you and your chapter to get the show?
Basically, what you have to do is do a little bit of homework up front. Find a venue. Like the one we're using this year has like 24,000 square feet of space. What we tend to like is if you can bundle a hotel and a venue, because then it's, you know, one-stop shopping, except for everybody who decides to try to come in at the last minute. And then really just go on the AMPS page and download the proposal package. And then just basically follow along with that. We've had a 100-page proposal. It was done back in 2015. I think one that Chuck Aylshire and I did was, I think, 13 slides. And you could do it as a, you know, basically a, you know, a Word document. I hate to admit this, but I'm pretty good at PowerPoint. So I did ours on PowerPoint and stuff. And it's basically, it needs to be in 18 months before the show. So you're looking at for next year. I think they just turned in the show packets in January. So actually, it's more like 15 months or so. But you're well over a year out. And basically, the executive board evaluates the proposals. And then we'll go and say, they have multiple proposals, which we've had before. We basically went and the one that was the out and out favorite, we said, okay, you guys are going to get the show. And then we said to the second place winner, hey, would you consider doing the following year's show because you have a good venue? And it was basically Mike DelVecchio and the Armacon boys doing the show at Danbury. And we're like, okay, we've been to Danbury. We know what it is. Why don't you guys go, you know, for the next one? And this was like right before COVID. The way it's happened this year was we did a super regional back in 21.
I was going to say, you already had it there before.
Yeah. We did super regional, which we partnered with Military Vehicle Collectors of America, MVPA. David Doyle, who was on their show committee, had been after me personally for probably about 4 or 5 years, saying, we need to do a show together. It'd be mutually beneficial, blah, blah, blah. Here's what we'll do for you. You don't have to pay for the venue. All you have to do is pay for your stuff, your trophies and stuff. We'll have X amount of tables, blah, 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 blah.
Really? That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it was too good to pass up. So even though I wasn't the president, I basically signed up for it. I said, okay, by that time, I'll be out of it. So, you know, hey, Chuck, why don't you as Chicagoland point of contact, you guys take it and I'll help you with the show. And that's kind of how we led into this one was Mike Petty, the AMPS president, went point to point with the Century Center in South Bend and basically got us a deal. Well, it was kind of the way that I did when I was a president. I was like, hey, you're show chair, you go figure it out. You know, but yeah, Mike Wooden got us, you know, expressed interest in going back there and then did a, you know, basically interacted with the Century Center staff and got us a couple grants and stuff. So it basically brought us into our sweet spot for paying for the venue. Rob already mentioned it's in the Midwest, so it's in the AMP sweet spot because that way you hosers from Canada will come down.
Hosers. Fucking guy.
Y'all from the South will come up. All the guys from the Midwest will come over. And all the guys from the East will come. Our largest shows have historically been in the Midwest. So this one is shaping up kind of to go the same way.
What's the official dates?
The official date is the 11th through the 13th of April. I had the 10th on my mind because that's really my first work day there. And we're going to go in there and kind of look at the layout and go and kind of do some game day decisions on, you know, what's kind of the back and forth there. So you guys will have a table close to a power supply, as will the other podcast.
As long as we put the posse in the back corner so no one sees them.
No, I can't do that.
And we can put Dave and Mike Basquette from the Mojo. We could put them in the other corner. And then you could put us up front.
No. Everybody's going to be kind of off to one side of the display area. So you.
No, guys get, I'm joking. We're going to have.
Yeah, I know. But I put a little thought into this and like, okay, I want these guys to have a great show experience. So let me put them close to where, you know, people are going to be walking around so that you guys can interact. You don't have to go and wander around. And
I'm so excited about this shit, man. It's going to be a good time.
This is going to be a great show. And I know we're promoting it hard here on the podcast. A, everybody knows I'm a big Amps guy, but B, this Amps Nationals, like we said, two times already, that where it's centrally located. Now, Amps is a very heavy Northeastern type of club. If you look at the demographics of the membership of Amps, just the United States, now I'm talking globally, just the U.S., probably 70% of the membership is in that Northeastern, Midwestern, Northeastern quadrant of the country. Then they're more down Southeast. Then when you get West, Northwest and like Southwest is not so much.
Which is scary because there's huge modeling communities out there too. And it's
huge.
Just, IPMS is just the thing, like the Pacific Northwest. IPMS USA is just the end all be all up there.
Eric Brubaker just started the AMP Seattle group up there. And he's a great guy. He's a good friend of ours. He comes on our build nights and he hangs out. We're going to try to get him on a show as a guest one time too to talk about that.
Yeah.
But again, this show has the potential to be one of the largest AMP shows, I think. And no matter how big it is, it's always going to be a great time. So we're not going to base the amount of models at the show as a gauge of how great the show is. You're going to have 1,000 models there and the show could be terrible depending on what happens there. But it's all about the camaraderie at these shows. We had talked about this, John, before we started recording, about the difference, in my opinion, between IPMS and AMPS is AMPS is a fraternity. We're all like-minded modelers. When you walk into a Nationals or an AMPS regional show, like we have ArmorCon here in the Northeast, everybody is like-minded in their modeling. We all have similar interests. We all do armor, artillery, whatever. It's all armor or military-based. You go to IPMS, you got your car guys, you got your ship guys, you got your these guys, you got your sci-fi guys. I'm not saying that we don't have sci-fi at AMPS, but it's a different experience at an AMPS show. You walk in and it's like your family. You know, I look forward to AMPS. The modeling is secondary to me.
Right.
As everybody knows me now, I'm not a big enterer of shows anymore. I'm more about, listen, this is what I build. You want to talk about it? I'll do a seminar. I love doing seminars at the Nationals. I love talking the hobby. Awards to me is important. Yeah. But, well, we're going to get the seminars again, but those who aren't familiar with AMPS need to understand the type of show it is and how, like, you walk in the door and everybody knows your name. It's like cheers. You know, everybody knows everybody. And people who come for the first time, they come in and they leave part of the group and they want to come back. And I know that Frank and Rob are coming from Canada. Like I said, I don't know. They might not make it all the way down to Indiana. There might be some cavity searches at the border on this.
We're going to be fine.
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't mean you guys aren't going to pay extra for that.
Right.
When they look at Frank, they might be like, I don't know. This guy's pretty suspect, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got nothing to worry about, Rob. I've got a Nexus card. I'm a preferred visitor.
So, John, I know you guys had the Super Regional in 21, and I know it went really, really well there.
Yeah.
I know that because of the experience at the Super Regional, you guys decided to shake things up a little bit between where things will be this time as opposed to where they were at the Super Regional, right?
Yeah, actually, Super Regional, we were down in on the lower level, which, again, worked out great. But this time we'll be up on the, basically on ground level. So it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for the vendors and everybody else to, you know, kind of get access into the venue and stuff. Where the hotels, got one right across the street. The other one, the DoubleTree Hilton, is connected to the Century Center with the Skybridge. So it is super easy to either walk across the street or, you know, you take the Skybridge over. It's the ideal setup for us.
I'm staying in a hotel that the venue's at.
Probably DoubleTree, yeah.
And then Frank and Rob, they all, bunch of guys got Airbnbs that they're all staying at not too far away. So everybody's going to be hanging around.
That's not a problem. And, you know, again, it's, you do what your pocketbook can afford.
Well, I'll tell you, the Airbnb is the solution, man. When you're going to go do these Nationals, if you can get in on a group of people that are willing to do that, our hotel expenses for AMPS Nationals is like $150.
Yeah, well, I'm doing the same thing for a show down in Shreveport, Louisiana. Me and two other guys, it's like less than 100. It's like right at $100, which wouldn't have touched one of the hotels there. But had I been going to IPMS Nationals, that was kind of what we were talking about. But I got some other stuff going on with work less than a month later that it's like, I really don't feel comfortable taking another week off to go up there.
So no Wisconsin for you this year?
No Wisconsin for me. I grew up in Chicago. Wisconsin was it's kind of our playground then. That's what they call us, Fibs. Fucking Illinois bastards.
So we talked before we started. John knows this is my first show. And really, for me, this whole interview was, I think like a lot of our listeners, it's just to explore this, right? I'm IPMS, that's the shows. I've never had the privilege of being an AMPS member because where I've lived, we've just never had a club. It's, you know, we're a smaller market up here, so there's not as many AMPS clubs out there. What I've learned from hanging out with Rob for the last 5 years. So I'm looking forward to it. I appreciated some of the info you've already shared, like especially the judging, understanding that, you know, whether I put 1, 6, or 10 into a category, if I win in a category, a gold, I've got a gold in that category and we'll go from there. I like the point system, just to throw it out there. I'm also our club president here locally in London. Our next show, we're actually going GSB for our IPMS show because we like that system as a club. So, you know, we have the freedom to choose. So we're GSBing and we're also going to sticky note. So we discussed amongst ourselves to make time to provide feedback to anything that's judged by putting a sticky note to say, you know, Rob Riv, there's your model. Maybe you won, maybe you didn't win, but here's a sticky note. You can come see the judges and we'll give you some feedback on your model, pros and cons, and help you grow within the hobby. Because really, the show for me is the social aspect.
Absolutely.
It's bringing the benefits of what the hobby's given to me, which is this pastime and this enjoyable ability to relax, right? To wash away the day, make friends all over the world that we get to meet, greet, and hang out with, and bring it out to more people. Like I got my son hooked on the gateway drug of Warcraft, and now he's coming to Heritage Con with me, and you know, maybe
you mean Warhammer.
Warhammer.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Warcraft.
Oh, I'll get that one on him. Well, Ravel's got those kits. Maybe I'll snag him with one of those later on. So anyway, I'm just looking forward to it. I'm very excited being a newbie to this show, and I'm definitely looking forward to the experience.
I'm looking forward to seeing it on a national scale. I've done smaller shows and you know, I totally agree. Like I love the judging system. I actually love judging. What I really like about judging is that the judging tables are always near the silent auction tables, so I can keep up on those too.
No, well, at the Nationals, I don't think it's going to be like that.
Well, probably not, but at this local show,
a boy can dream. I just wanted to piggyback on Frank's statement. I actually feel like I'm going to be somewhat comfortable with the display and the judging and whatnot. Not so much the points, you know, I've never actually been involved in the judging, but our MFCA show does do the gold, silver, bronze, and it does seem like it's a very similar setup to the AMPS system. So, you know, I I'll enter a couple things. I'm not a big armor modeler, but it would be cool to bring home a little piece of hardware just to, you know, commemorate that I was there. That's really all that I would be entering anything in for, and just to see where I'm at when it comes to armor modeling.
Hardware aside, just knowing kind of where you stand.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like how people are looking at your shit and appreciating it.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, like when I entered in some stuff last year into the PaxCon show, I really didn't care if I won anything, but I just wanted to win something because it was their inaugural show and there's something about it being the first show ever. I just wanted something to go home with, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's really all I you know, I cared about.
You wanted a copy of first issue.
Yeah, basically.
Charter winner.
If it's a gold, perfect. You know, if it's only a bronze, whatever. It still says PaxCon 2023, you know, and that's really all I was interested in. It didn't even matter, you know, if I beat somebody else, which didn't matter because it was gold, silver, bronze as well. But again, it goes back to the camaraderie and the community that this hobby is built up in. And that's what I'm the most excited about.
And we're now at an international level, like me and Frank are coming down. We're all going to meet up.
Absolutely.
We've never met each other. None of us.
We've never face-to-face, flesh-to-flesh.
I've been with Justin in the same room. I met Justin at MFCA a few years
ago. Yeah, MFCA 2 years ago.
And of course, you know Tooch, obviously, but the rest of us.
But for the rest of us, yeah.
It's great hearing you guys, you know, express this, because my goal is put on the best show possible, the least amount of money. Just, I'm trying to be, you know, financially responsible in doing this stuff. But, you know, I want guys to, you know, basically show up the first time and they're hooked. Like, hey, you ask somebody, you know, hey, you going to AMPS? And guys are like, of course I'm going to AMPS. It's AMPS. And again, I'm glad to hear other people say the competition, yeah, the competition is there. Okay, yeah, and I like to get little baubles and trinkets and stuff, but it's more of seeing my fraternity brothers. I'll use that one too, Rob.
It's the way I always say it.
Seeing them at least the one time that year, sometimes you know, I bump into other guys at other shows and stuff, but I'm an armor modeler, and that's the top show here in the States.
Here on Long Island, I see, like, I'm by Steve Andriano, Jim Gould, Dan Feldman. We're all part of AMPS. We see each other for our own chapter. But It's not until I go, like, let's say to ArmorCon or Nationals, I see someone like yourself, John, or Chuck Alshier, that I love him dearly, and other people like David Vickers and Mike Petty and all these people, Crazy Kurt and these people. You don't see them other than going to these shows, and that's why I really look forward to it, because it's just hanging out and just having a blast. Just having a really good time. And you always meet someone new when you go to these shows, somebody that you might know on Facebook that you've never seen in person.
There you go.
That you're meeting in person for the first time, you know, being part of the podcast and just having, like, you know, presence on Facebook and with stuff, you know, people come up and say hello and you get to meet people, and that's always great. And that's the fun part of those shows, is it's being social. Now, if you're not a social person, then these shows aren't for you. If you like being social and hanging out, going and have a couple of drinks, getting something to eat, talk the hobby, walk the vendor room, which we're going to get to talking about the vendors, that's fun. You know, you have a good time. So that's leading up to this question, John. So vending. First, I got to ask this question. Is Gene Bagnoli going to be at this show?
Yeah, that's one of our game day decisions.
All right. Well, Gene, I know he's been having some health issues.
Yeah, he has some tables, and he said, he talked to Chris Grader and said, I might be there, I might not. It depends on how I feel at the time.
So I know I spoke to Chris. Chris is a big part of our group here, too. He was on the other night. I just ordered bases from Chris Grader, Grader Woodworking, fantastic bases. We're going to get Chris on the show, and he's going to have an ad spot to talk about his bases. But he is the vendor coordinator for Amps Nationals, and he had told me that everything's sold out. I know Louis Vargas isn't going to be this year, but he's going to have product there through Angel or something?
No, through John Rauscher. Boomer's Models or Boomer's.
Boomer Models, whatever. Right, Boomer. He does all the display stuff or whatever.
Yeah, Lou canceled out. He's got some health issues, couldn't travel. And then, like I said, Gene's going to be a game day decision, whether he goes a disabled, you know, list or what. Right now, we have 110 or 109 tables that are sold. We have one that's kind of floating around, I believe. Again, Chris would be the guy to talk about that one. Matter of fact, he wouldn't twist my arm, and I was just looking at doing 100 tables. He's like, 10 more, give me 10 more. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you 10 more.
That's great. And listen, the vending at the last Nationals was very good. There was a vendor there. I think he was selling a personal stash, or someone had just recently passed away, or someone was selling a stash. He was in the back left of that, you know, that vending hall at Camp Hill. And he had some great kits at some great prices. It was a no-brainer. And it was like old school vending. Remember when you used to go to a show and you used to get great deals on kits you couldn't find? That's how it felt. Like you were getting a great bargain deal. Now, thankfully, Gene was on the other side of the freaking vendor hall, because if he saw people buying these kits, he would have killed me. You know, but it was great getting those deals that this guy had at that show. So it was great.
Right.
And listen, Louis Vargas sold tons of stuff at that show last year.
He did the same thing at the IPMS Nationals. His brand and, you know, the stuff that he goes and cranks out is nobody else is doing it. So it's all the, you know, Interwar and, you know, World War One and just some real strange stuff.
Strange stuff that you're not going to get in kit form,
Yeah, you look at it and you're like, I just got to have that.
Then you get the people that start nitpicking it, even though it's something so obscure, right?
Yeah, well,
he's been getting a lot of flack on the internet lately, and I feel sorry for the guy.
I'll just say, yeah, I agree with you. I've seen it. I've got some of his kits. I asked some questions about another kit. I kind of got slapped around for it, and it's like, okay, fine. I'm kind of one of these guys that there's some things I'll buy that are very accurate, and then there's other times, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Right.
There's some quality control issues going on with Lewis.
Yeah.
He's a one-man operation. He's been packaging things improperly, I think, lately in some ways. I don't want to get a tangent on this, but he's got to just have a little better quality control. But he does offer some great stuff. And, you know, I'm glad that he's going to have his products there to sell. I'm sure he's not going to have as much as he's had in the past because he's not going to be there. But it's great that Boomer Books is going to sell his product. And I know Angel's going to be there. Steve Munzel's going to be there, right?
I think he is.
Or Value Gear.
Yeah, I think he's partnering with somebody else. He doesn't necessarily show up on the list, but, you know.
He's with Angel for Micro World.
I thought he was coming, but, you know, and I was like, hey, you know, hey, Chris, send something to, you know, Steve and stuff, who, again, is another great guy in the hobby.
Oh, well, the best.
He'll bend over backwards for you, so.
We speak very highly of Steve here. Steve Munzel's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
ArmorCon, he flew up here to New York. I picked him up at JFK. He came back to my house. We had lunch. We hung out. I stayed in his room the first night. And I'll say this. Steve Munzel's a great guy, but never share a hotel room with him. He snores like an animal. Kept me up all night. Tom Miklavak was in our room too. Poor Todd's like, I can't sleep. I got to get out of here. I was ready to sleep in the hallway. So It was good, though. Great guy.
When you enter the venue, the first thing you're going to hit is the vendor room. That's kind of the gateway, unless you're carrying models, and then you'll end up going all the way around the side of the venue to the ramrod table. But you will walk past the concession area, so if you're hungry, bring your models. If not, then...
Okay, interesting. So last year, you walked in, registration was right across, left was ramrod, right was raffle. So this time, it's walk right into the vendor room?
Well, basically, it's you'll walk in the venue, and they'll have signs pointing you to registration.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is make sure that not necessarily the modelers are pre-registered guys, because we know we got their money already, but the you know, the walk-ins and stuff, we get them pointed in the right direction. And then, like, right across from registration is the entrance to the convention hall. So that'll be, go straight in there, unless they're, you know, guys are carrying models and they want to get their models put right in. Me personally, I like to wait.
Wait till Friday. I always tell that. Wait till Friday.
Bring my stuff in when, you know, there's a lull in the battles.
Right. I believe that too. I say the same thing.
Yeah, Rib. I'm going on your lead.
Wait till Friday. Well, I ramrod. John, I always ramrod usually Friday morning. I'm usually with Jeff, and I usually ramrod that first shift Friday morning. And there's a reason for that. I like to see the models that come in. I get a first look at them. And I also get to see everybody as they come in and bring their models to the table. So I usually like to ramrod, not because I want to sit there and work. I also want to contribute to the group and help out.
Yeah,
but I also like to meet and see everybody as they're coming in. And that's one of the reasons why I like to ramrod first thing Friday morning. So.
He likes the kissing hands and shaking babies.
Kind of, unless I get something like Chris Green, who comes to the table drunk. And from the night before, and he doesn't know where he is, and he hasn't filled out his paperwork right, and you're trying to register him and get him in the show, and he's not listening because he's drunk. So it is what it is.
Get out of here. Come back. Sober up. Come back.
Nah, no, it was a good time. So, you know, John, I want to ask you a funny question. I know that there's always this running gag about the hats that get worn at Amps. So, and you've always worn one that I've always enjoyed because it reminded me of Fred Flintstone when he would be there. So what hat are you going to wear at the Nationals this year?
Okay, like every other one since 2015. Hell, I don't remember when it was. But yeah, basically, I will wear the Order of the Water Buffalo hat.
The Grand Poobah.
A Grand Poobah hat. I got to get a new one because my old one seems to have given up the ghost and, you know, kind of got all floppy and I couldn't jam any of the blue pills into it to make it stand up tall. But
if anybody knows what the Grand Poobah hat is, it's literally like the Fred Flintstone hat that he wore at his like lodge meetings. It's like the big furry hat with the horn sticking out, right?
And the Loyal Order of the Water Buffaloes.
There you go. We got a couple of guys, you know, watch Fred Flintstone when they were kids. You had to watch it on Cartoon Network, probably.
I watched it on Boomerang, but, you know, Donati was like a teenager. I think he might have been in his 30s when the Flintstones came out, right, Fred?
Nah.
Oh, why are you not that old?
I'm going to get Richie Cunningham's dad. Remember he had the fez for the Loyal Order of the Leopard or something like that?
Yes, I remember that.
Maybe I'll get one of those and I'll join you.
Okay, that's fine. But normally there's a catch to it. When I took over as president, you know, I was like, okay, I need to do something to kind of liven up our annual membership meeting because, you know, it got pretty dull and blah, 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 blah. So what I started doing was basically for some event, I would hand out their hat, the Georgia Ironman
Mike Petty, and then you had Neil Stokes and David Vickers.
Just come to the membership meeting that if you're not a member of AMPS, then you need to join AMPS and just at least stay for the beginning because someone is going to get a hat. And they'll be required to wear it every AGM.
No, I know. And the general membership meeting is where you talk business. You talk about the finances, right? And you talk about the membership and the numbers and all the...
Right.
The boring stuff that you have to do as a national organization. Instead of doing it, you know, on paper or whatever, you do it in person. And then, you know, it's usually about an hour. It's at a terrible time, right? Isn't it usually Friday night at like 7 o'clock?
Yeah, it's normally Friday night, 7 o'clock, and you go from there.
It's eating it on dinner time and drinking time.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the one good thing about it is we basically unveil the next year's show where it's going to be. And then we decide on what the theme is. And that could get exciting at times where... You know, someone has some cornball idea of, oh, yeah, we need to do, you know, tanks and girls. That needs to be the theme.
So like girls und Panzer?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, girls and Panzer.
That actually is a great segue. So the theme for this show is D-Day, right?
Actually, it's 1944. So you got your choice of events to if you want to build to.
Okay, so anything that took place 1944 theme.
Europe, Pacific, home front. And again, what we tend to do, you know, things that a lot of people can build to, those tend to be the themes overall. But, you know, again, we every once in a while we get something wild in there. Like one of my shows that I did was first offs. So it was basically the first variant of any vehicle that was out there. So like, okay, that sounds kind of strange. Or we did one of World War One or something. So basically you're limited by your creativity. And then, you know, if you get the collective behind you when the voting starts, then, you know, you might be the next, you know, one that chooses the theme or the next jester. So
I like that. And I'm going to say this, and I know that I spoke to some people about it. People know that I give some of my models that I build to people to paint and stuff. And we do like buddy type things. And MFCA, that club that Justin's part of, which is a big figure club. It's one of the bigger figure clubs around, especially in the U.S.
Oldest one in the U.S.
Right. And they have categories, or they have different types of categories. And they have not necessarily buddy builds, but they'll have like a sculptor of a project and a person will paint it and someone like that.
Right.
And I always thought amps being like what we call the preservation of not only armor, but of the hobby. I always felt like there should be a category, but also maybe a theme award, which would be awesome, would be just that, sort of like a collaboration buddy build type thing, where it's not just maybe just a category in the future that they can make. Now, I grant that I understand there's logistics. Is this like, you know, we have best ofs and stuff, but we can do a category where that maybe not necessarily be in contention for a best of, but it's a category for people to participate in. Also, maybe a theme where you have a person who sculpts a figure and the person who paints it, or a person who builds a model and paints it, but the person does the dioramas and the figures, or a person builds the model and the person paints the model. A collaboration where one, two, maybe three people are involved in a project, because I think it promotes the hobby, and that's what AMP's really about, is promoting the hobby. What's your opinion on that, John? You think that that's something that would be feasible?
Honestly, I kind of like that idea. The other one that was kind of a off-the-cuff one, it would really, you know, probably appeal to you as naked models.
Naked models, right. Yeah, I like that.
Just don't take that the wrong way and, you know, say, pass to the significant other. Yeah, I'm going, you know, the theme this year is naked models and we got, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I'm in.
Well, you know that, John. Like, for instance, just talk about last Nationals. I had a nice display in the display-only section of all my built models that weren't painted. And it got a lot of attention at the show because people, you know, they give me shit online about, oh, you don't want to paint. And I've been painting. But, you know, when people see some of those models in person, they look great online, you know, like clean, whatever. When you see them in person, you see some people like, holy shit, looks just like the pictures. It's clean here as it is that you do. And people appreciate all the work that goes into a model. And when it's painted, whether there's a brag book before it, or pictures showing what it was like before it got that primer coat or that coat of paint, you don't know what's there. And a lot of people who are just run-of-the-mill, not necessarily the modelers, but maybe the entrants that come in that don't know much about what's going on, how things are built, they see it in those forms and like, holy shit, this is really cool. The metal, the photo etch, the scratch building, things like that. So, but I think that's something that we can maybe ask Vickers or Mike Petty or something to put to the membership.
Okay, Rob, here's what I'll tell you. Here's the secret. You need to come to the AGM, and you need to, when it's question and answer time, you need to ask that question.
I will. Vocally, too.
And just tell Vickers, hey, I'll help you. If you want to consider this, I will help you with it, which I know you will, because you feel pretty passionate about, you know, potentially naked models, so you don't have to paint them. And again, you're right. What it does is you're really showcasing your building abilities.
Right, building, and also the buddy build. I think the buddy build and maybe a category with that, I think is a great idea. I think it's great.
That's kind of how the society should be existing, is let's throw some ideas on the table. Let's not get stuck in this, you know, whatever thing that, you know, all these 60-year-old plus dudes are doing.
Right. I also think that too, like, you know, just expanding. Another thing that I always thought was something that should be considered. I'm not putting you on the spot, John. This might be a question for, you know, the executive board that's currently there, but, you know, it rotates. But one of the things that I always felt, and being someone who is a big amps guy, is the criteria that we use, what we consider masters in our craft. So we award a master to people who win best in show at the national level.
Right.
So it's lightning in a bottle, that particular show, that person was best of. Now, there's been people who've won best on subjects consistently and then eventually won that best in show. There's been people who've never won a best subject, wins a best in subject and best in show at that show. And there's people who've never been to an AM show, come, win best in show, and you never see him again.
And there's another challenge that goes along with that would be getting masters to routinely stay with the hobby. You know, they might be building, but they would never bring anything in. So what we did was came up with the Best Masters Award so they can compete and they get a, you know, kind of a best of award. And I know exactly what you're talking about with lightning in a bottle, because I was going to mention it earlier, was we do occasionally have somebody who just shows up
and then never comes back.
I thought Jeff Feller was one of those guys, but then I, you know, basically dug in and found out that, you know, okay, he had been to several shows. It's like he came out of nowhere when he became a master.
I won best German subject the year he became a master. So I was in that whole area. But that, you know, Home Alone diary he did was fantastic. Jeff Feller is an amazing modeler and an equally amazing guy. One of the nicest men that you'll ever meet in this hobby is Jeff Feller.
Yeah, I kind of learned that later on, you know, but again, it was just, you know, hey, where's this guy been all year?
Right, but he had other things going on, but his personality is like, just the way he carries himself. I spent a lot of time with Jeff at the last Nationals, at the bar, at dinner, hanging out. What a guy. I mean, if there's anybody that I can say that I was happy to meet in this hobby, it's that guy. He's just an amazing man. But back to what I was saying about, I don't want to take away from people who've won best in shows, right? When AMPS created the whole master thing, when they created AMPS, they grandfathered people who won consistent IPMS, you know, best ofs or were great modelers, people who were considered, quote unquote, let's say published or professional modelers, like a Cookie, Steve Zaloga, Mark Ford, God rest his soul, and a couple other people got grandfathered in. And then, of course, a master caused a whole break in the AMPS group back in the early 2000s. The so-called Knight of the Exacto Blades, and we've talked about that, or, you know, at one point or another, about what happened with the split that time at AMPS. But I always think that maybe AMPS should look at changing the criteria of what a master is as opposed to maybe what a grandmaster is. Like an MFCA, they have masters and they have grandmasters, right, Justin? Right.
So I don't think we have an actual masters. I think it just goes right to grandmaster. And I was actually waiting for the break to get in here with this. The grandmaster of the MFCA is generally awarded to someone not only has won best in show, et cetera, but is also put into the criteria of has done a great deal of good in the hobby in general. Right. You know, being that outgoing guy who's willing to jump in and help teach someone else who is not into it, or spreading the good word, or, you know, basically it's not just, hey, I'm good at this, look what I did. It's, I'm good at this, and I'm modest enough to know that I'm a good person in what I'm doing as well.
Is it a nomination?
No, it's a committee.
The MFCA committee gets together and
people who won masters prior are part of that committee. So if you won master at AMPS, only one person is winning that master. But that's the only thing that I think needs to be considered in the future, is I think that maybe we should consider looking at bodies of work and people's contribution, not only to AMPS, but to the hobby, as a criteria for what the master should be. Because I'm not saying that people like a Scott Breggy or a Jeff Feller all won masters and they're all great models in their own right. But I also think that you need to have consistent participation to be able to, you know,
to continue it.
And this is just a discussion. I could be totally fucking wrong. Sorry for cursing, John, about
what
this.
I would recommend is, you know, you buttonhole Petty and say, hey, here's kind of what I'm thinking.
Right.
You know, can we look at doing that? It's kind of a step away from where AMPS came from. And it, again, you probably know just as much if I, if not more, on, you know, the history and the whys and that from Steve.
Oh, God, do we.
You know, when they did the, you know, basically just telling folks because they did this, that, or the other, you're a masters now. That was before my time. And I always steered away from, you know, when someone brought that up, why was this guy, you know, grandfathered in? I'm like, there was a reason. I can't answer it.
It was a criteria they had or whatever.
I was hanging out in Korea, or I was in the, you know, California desert doing, you know, doing, acting like a little kid with tanks. Since 2002, I'm up with it. I was tracking the Knight of the Exacto Knives, you know.
Not an Exacto Knives. That's a story for another time. Steve Andriana will tell that story on here. When I have the muster to get him on the show, I got to take a Xanax when he comes on, though.
When we could fix his internet.
Hearing Steve's version of it didn't match up with my version that I saw in the folks I talk with, and that's all I'll say. But I listened.
He's losing it as he's got older.
And thank God that, you know, some of those wounds have healed up.
Wounds have healed. It's 2024. I think that amps right now, and this is a good segue right now to probably end it, is amps is definitely stronger now than it's ever been. Armor community hobby is stronger now than it's ever been. There's more products available now. The techniques, the YouTube channels, the podcasts. There's so much stuff out there that's available to people to become a better modeler, to be intertwined with the social aspect of the hobby. And amps is a great extension of that. And I highly recommend people to consider looking at amps if you're an armor modeler, to investigate and see what it's like to become a member, maybe opening a chapter in your area, and attend the nationals. Like this particular nationals, South Bend, right? What's the dates, John, for the show?
The 11th through the 13th of April, South Bend, Indiana. The Century Center Convention Center. The flagship motel is the DoubleTree Hilton in South Bend, with the South Bend Marriott being the other one that we have hotel rates at, and that one's the one right across the street. If you're a Courtyard by Marriott is the second thing. So if you're a Marriott points guy, you know, go ahead and jump on that. Stayed at both of them, and they're both great hotels. We're looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great show, John, and I always look forward to seeing you because you're a great guy, and you're, and I know you, I use this word for people. No, you're an ambassador, and you, everybody knows you, and you run around. You don't stop. You're always doing something. There's John. There's John. Where's John? You're running. You're always running or moving fast. I don't know how you have the energy, but you do. No. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody. Us, the Modeling Insanity podcast, thanks to John, gave us a table. And we will be at the Nationals set up. We are looking to do a podcast or whatever, a discussion from the show. So anybody who listens wants to hang out. We're going to have shirts. Everybody's been asking for shirts the last week or two. So we're going to have shirts. I'm going to give John a shirt. Everybody's going to get a shirt. It's going to be fun. Ants Nationals is always a blast. It's not about the show. It's about hanging out with the guys. I get mad at guys that bring their wives. No French Chuck. I know you always bring your wife. She works the raffle. I do the data entry, Meg Petty's wife. We appreciate it, but they should not be hanging out with the boys at night. Guys' night out after the show. So, John, we're glad you came on. I think that everybody's aware of the Amps Nationals now. I'm hoping that there's going to be a big turnout, right, John?
Yeah, and if there's, you know, again, look me up at the show. I'll be, I don't know what I'll be wearing all the time, but I have a very distinctive haircut.
You and Donati go to the same barber, I see.
Yeah, maybe. If you got any questions, you know, kind of stop me. This time I will be running around a lot trying to make sure the train stays on the tracks or trying to keep Gene from getting in trouble over at the hotel. Or
yes.
It's been a pleasure to come out here, meet you guys, chat with you. Look forward to, you know, hoisting a brew or two or whatever at the show, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be great, John. So again, thanks for being on with us. So we're going to leave John here, and we're going to move on to our next topic. And it's not really a topic. We're going to be having like a little potpourri little segment of this podcast since we talked about amps and spoke about the Nationals that's coming up later on in April, which we can't wait for. But we're going to be talking about what's on the bench as well as any new stuff that we got in the hobby. So we're going to move to Justin first. So, hey, Justin, what did you get recently, purchase-wise? I know you're on a strict budget there. I know your wife gives you a hard time when you buy new stuff.
Not really. Not if I'm tricky with it when I bring it in the house.
No, you need to put her in a place. Tell her to mind the business.
Let it sit in the car for a day or two before I bring it in. No, actually, a couple things I picked up. I've got another Machine and Krieger kit. When I went there to AAA for the last MFCA meeting, can't help but go and browse. So I picked up a Vega Altair. It's one of the, like an AI-driven machine robot fighter thing. So I have two to choose from for our Machine and Krieger group build. So Joe's Train Station, we just started a club, me and a guy named Mark Carver. We started a little monthly gathering over there. Doug wants to become a full-fledged hobby shop. So I am doing my part. Every time I go in there, I come out with a kit. So I also picked up the Tamiya P47, the bubble top. It is the kit with the Jeep in the kit. Also picked up a 262, Messerschmitt 262 with, what is that? That one that comes in there, the, I don't know what that is, that little motorcycle half-track thing.
Getting crad.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one that's in that kit. So I picked those two up, and I also grabbed a whole bunch of new paints to try out. I got some of the Revell Aqua colors that come in a really weird bottle. They're all cubes. So I have a project down the road I'm going to give them a shot on as well.
How's the Mission Models paint going?
It's actually going pretty well. The Sherman Firefly that I've painted in it, I've been chiseling away a little bit on that. You want to try to get that done for Amps Nats. So I've been chiseled away here and there, and the paint seems to be holding up pretty tight on the various things that I've been doing to it. I just added some, we're working on adding some stowage and camo netting on that.
You did a good job on that so far. I did see it.
Yeah, the last thing I think I posted pictures of was the tools. I painted up all the tools and the external stuff. Last night, I did start putting some camo netting and value gear stowage on it.
You're doing a good job on it. You know, you're spraying a base coat. You haven't done anything else with it.
Yeah, I haven't gone crazy with weathering or anything like that. So
listen, I'm not bashing fucking anything today. I'm tired. I have no time to sit there and complain about a fucking model product and get death threats on my message about wanting to get punched in the face because I talk bad about Mission Models, for Christ's sake. But you're looking like you're doing pretty good. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that you're not really buying a lot of things to contribute to the hobby.
I've been spending a lot of money lately. I'm trying to hold off until we get to Amps Nats. I'm making a list of things that I want to pick up when I'm there. So trying to lessen the blow on the wallet. I mean, granted, I did also order, I haven't received it all yet, but I did order some replacement parts for the Prowler that I've been working on for the Flying Drumstick Buddy build. I somehow misplaced the landing gear and the AGM 88s. So I had to order some of those. I actually just got delivered today the Flying Leathernecks wheel set for that, as well as metal landing gear. And then Res Kit has some AGM 88s on their way for me.
Way to go. Keep it up, Justin. You're keeping the hobby afloat. We need you in this hobby. You're definitely an ambassador of, like, you know, whatever you do.
Of useless shit.
You said it. I don't want to. You know what? I was not taking it there, but I'm glad you did because you make me feel better that you actually realize it.
Try to make up for my stuttering.
No, I'm breaking your balls. That's awesome, though. Mr. Donati, I know that you've been trying hard to keep up with me every day you're in the build room. There's a lot to live up to, but please tell me what you've been working on and how things are going and what you've bought. I know that you've acquired a lot of things lately, Mr. Donati. It's got to be good. Being Mr. Frank Donati, IPMS Canada president, because you've been getting a lot of, I think you've been getting shaken down a little bit. So tell me about it.
I'm shaken down. So, well, let's talk about the latest thing I built, because I did finish our Musaru Cup entry. So for those listeners that don't know about it, the modeling podcasters have an informal contest. It starts and ends with Heritage Con up in Hamilton every March. And the podcasters pick somebody, and then they're all ship a kit. There's an official date we start. You don't open her up until you're ready to go. And then you build what you get. So this year we got an ICM Euro 4320 truck in 1/72 scale. And I built our entry for the podcast as a technical. And that was a tough kit. It's ICM Eastern European plastic. Not an easy build, but came out pretty good. I had a vision. And we executed it. So we'll see how it goes at Heritage Con in the end of March. And hopefully people will like it. So far, the feedback's been pretty good on it. So I liked it a lot. So that was that build. You're right, I got a bunch. I ended up getting some old kits. You know me, right, Rob? Like, I like to waste my time on old kits. I picked up a bunch. Like, I got an Italeri Kangaroo, which is from the 90s. I got a bunch of Eshi 72nd scale tanks that Tooch did when he was 11. And I got an Eshi T-55. I'm working on that. Right now, I'm almost done an Italeri Panzer IV L70. I'm doing it in an ambush pattern.
Isn't it done?
No, it's painted. I got to start the weathering. That's why I was ragging on you today for chipping, because that's my next couple of days worth of work. Because Amps Nationals is my first Amps, I got a few kits to bring in, but I wanted to just take one of those old weird kits and build it up and bring it in just for the hell of it to bring something new, right? So I picked up the crushed kit, which is a Polish 7TP, which is a light tank early war based on the Vickers by a company called Bojnia. As best as I can mangle Polish, S-P-O-J-N-I-A. They only ever made three kits, it looks like, but almost every 7TP tank from Mirage and a couple others all seem to be based on this thing. So I'm going through it. It's an 87 kit. So
yeah, they made three kits and then they couldn't pay their rent and they had to shut down production probably. That's usually how it happens.
I was thinking maybe the Iron Curtain fell down and they were in cahoots with the commies or something like that, right?
So probably.
You know what? Lasted up. It was in a sealed bag. Kit was about the thickness of a magazine.
I'm shocked that that was even in a bag. A lot of those companies didn't bag their sprues.
And listen, I opened the bag. I got a fresh breath of that vintage Polish communist era air. Got all Stalinist on everyone. It looks like it'll be interesting. So I'm looking forward to working on that. So for the next little bit, it's just going to be trying to build some kits that have spent 25 years not getting any love.
Listen, Frank, I break your balls about a lot of stuff. And A, you've done an amazing job on that Musaru Cup build. What was the kit again that needed for the Musaru Cup?
It was an ICM Euro 4320 truck in 1/72 scale. And it was the recent release, which was the Ukraine edition. So it had decals to do either a...
digital camo.
Digital cam, thanks, Rob, and some Ukraine markings. So
you did a great fucking job on that,
man. Yeah, I really like what you did with that. That's
and I'm not just saying awesome. That because you're our representative of the Moose Rule Cup. Like Frank said, each of the podcasters or whoever, is it podcasters and maybe some YouTubers or something participate?
No, it's the podcast community. And this is the fifth Musaru Cup. So it started off with the guys down in Australia with On the Bench and Stuart Clark from Scale Model Podcast.
Right.
Which is where the Musaru comes from.
Right, Musaru. Right.
Yeah.
I think that you did a great job the way you painted it. You put these like signs on the sides in the back from like road signs, like they were on the, like to give them added protection or something. I thought it looked really cool. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to put it out there. If we don't win this Musaru Cup with that build, I've seen the other entries. Mettings did a great job. Mike Basquette did a great job.
I do like Basquette's.
Yeah, Mike did a good job. Mike
did a good job. His was creative.
The Hot Wheels type thing. Stuart, you know, we have to have a talk with Stuart. But he did a good job. But if we don't win, I'm going to be very disappointed in you, Frank. I'm just letting you know. It's all eyes on your shoulders, this whole Musaru Cup thing.
So I guess for the next Musaru, we'll put you up as the builder for it, right?
It depends on the subject.
You don't get to know the subject.
I understand that, but we'll see next year. God willing, I'm still walking this earth. If it's a subject that I can do, then maybe I'll do it. But you did a great job. And like I always say, you always take on these obscure builds. Like, I'm building, this Polish kit. I can't even name the name of it. And you'll do it, and you'll do it well. It takes a lot more skill and effort to put something like that together than picking up, like, a brand new Tamaya kit and throwing that together. So when you do a kit like that and you bring it to Nats and you do a good job, you'll see a lot of people gravitating to that, knowing that kit and knowing, the work that you put into it. So you do get rewarded for that in some ways.
That's if they can find it, because it's such a small thing.
Well, I got Tooch as my support group, right? We're the masters of obscure.
Absolutely.
You are. So again, you haven't bought anything. You've gotten a lot of stuff too. Like, didn't you get stuff from like an estate sale or someone passed away and they were giving away kits or something?
Speaking of Stuart, sold the Aerofix Rebox of the Academy Honey, the Stuart Honey. It was a new kit. I'm a bit of a secondhand modeler. A lot of the stores up here don't carry that obscure stuff, so I like to pick over the bones of deceased modelers and see what I can get from their stashes, basically.
Just put them in your will. Just put Donati in your will.
You can't build it, just put it in your will. I'll come and pick it up.
I got so much shit. We have an upcoming show here at NorthEastCon. I'm going to bring a stack of kits. With the kit cost me $60 when I bought it. I'm throwing like a $25 price sticker on it.
Sold.
Yeah, $25 sold. Yours. Not even haggling. Just give me $25. I'll give it to you for nothing. One time years ago, I got all the older Tamaya kits all sealed in the boxes. I'm talking like the old like T62 and the old like Stug 4s and all the old Tamaya type kits, right?
Yep.
I brought them to a club meeting. I had like maybe like 12, 13, 14 kits. I just plopped them on the table and I was like, I'm just giving them away. Some of these vultures were taking like 5 kits each. I'm like, no, asshole, one each. You don't just take them all. There's 60 people at this club meeting. Fucking one guy's going to take every kit. They were so quick to take stuff for free, those bastards, So a lot of stuff I got to give away. Tooch, what'd you get? What are you working on? And any new stuff that you've bought recently? What have you gotten on that Deep Santucci's modeling world?
Well, you picked me up the Mini Art Butcher set because when you showed it to me, all of a sudden it reminded me of a World War I postcard I have. So
Right. Once
I get that in my hands, I'll probably be a spring, summer project. Convert them to World War I with a postcard involved. As far as that, I did receive a kit for review, but you'll have to wait for the article to come out in Military Model Craft. And I had two other figures come in also for review. But as far as anything new, no, I haven't. I'm like Frankie, I'm waiting for Nats. I'm going to look for the obscure there. Hopefully Wanamakers will be there and I'll pick up more World War I stuff. But what's on the bench? I've got a few things on the bench. Right now I've got two Copper State World War I British figures that are going to go with the Rolls-Royce armored car that I did in World War I scheme based upon a photograph with a pom-pom on the back. So I'm hoping to finish that up in time for ArmorCon. I also have to finish my FT-17 diorama that I'm doing. That is 1/72 scale. Like Frankie said, I did the Flyhawk kits a while back. And I'm working on the figures right now, so that's slow going. But once I get the figures done, that should ramp up pretty quick. That's what I've got on the bench. And then, of course, some review stuff I have to do.
Mr. Adams, I know that you completed a build and you did a great job on it. Plus, you got something else on the table now, something totally different. So talk to me. What do you got?
Yeah, I just finished the Meng British Mark V male full interior. It was a nice kit. It was a bit of a grind. The full interiors usually are. I made it so that the whole side of the tank can come off so you can see everything inside. So it wasn't an absolute waste using magnets.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote magnets. Yeah. And that's also my entry into the World War One. What is it? Red Beach Studio?
Red Beach One Studios. Yep.
Red Beach One. Yeah. So that's my entry into that group build as well. And then yesterday it was a dilemma. I was like, Gundam or Fairy Swordfish? And I had the Fairy Swordfish down, and then I had another beer, and then I went, ah, I'm going to do a Gundam. So I put the Swordfish back.
Got a lot of aftermarket for that Gundam, man. I never seen so much aftermarket for one little Gundam.
Yeah, it's a real grade Sazabi, so it's a fairly large kit for an RG, but still, yeah, there's hundreds of metal parts that got to go on it. So it should be fun. I don't know what's involved with putting them all on, what I got to cut off, nothing. The instructions are very vague.
Oh, yeah, for the aftermarket, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, but I think it's going to look good. I'm going to hot rod it because the photo etch is all chrome.
I would love to do one of those in photo etch, too. I just don't know where to get that stuff.
Well, I got it off eBay.
I'm not an eBay guy, so... I know, maybe Gundam USA or something.
I was just looking because I lost the instructions for the one set, so I just found them on the internet. There's a couple Gundam stores. I don't know which ones, but they do sell that stuff.
I got to reach out to Brian Denklau or one of those guys.
Yeah, he'll know.
Joshua Scott or something, ask to where to get some stuff and everything.
I ain't getting on no eBay, animal.
So that's what I got going on. Sazabi is usually Ferrari red, and I'm going to paint him gloss black and flat black.
So why did you choose gloss black?
Because I have 6 friggin' bottles of GX2 kicking around. A buddy of mine that lives in Japan asked me if I wanted any paints, because paints were real cheap. And I said, yeah, I need a bottle of GX2, because I could get it here. And so it shows up. There's I don't even know. There might be 7 of them. 6, 7 of them. I was like, holy shit, man. Thanks. Yeah, so gloss black it is.
I'm looking forward to that, Robbie. You do good with all that stuff. I mean, whether you're doing a tank, a ship, a plane, a motorcycle, a Gundam, you always pull it off. It pains me to even give you any credit for anything.
More than just a meh.
We had Frank Donati saying that he wanted to give you a social media shout out for your Mark V, and I told him absolutely 100% no. He's on the show. He doesn't get a shout out. And even if he wasn't on the show, you can't give him a shout out.
So there you go, Rob. You just got your shout out, brother.
Thank you.
You did a good job on that.
Checkmate.
No, you did a good job. Like I said, man, you got to get a good backdrop. Your backdrop is filthy, man. What do you, it's like, come on, man, clean it.
I know.
Just take out a paper towel with alcohol and clean it up. Take it.
It's fucking paper. I told you it's paper.
I understand that, but you could still clean it. Your pigments will get on the bottom of the white.
I know. I just got to go to the fucking Michaels and pick up a new one. That's it.
You're showing off a money shot for your model to show all these people on Facebook. In your case, could be thousands of people, all right? I understand that you don't want your profile picture on Facebook to look halfway decent. You don't give a shit. You're disheveled. You haven't shaved. You look like you haven't showered in a couple of days. You take a picture, like Santucci. But when you got to post your model, have a little...
Wait. What part is that? Shaved?
Whatever.
Haven't showered or build a model? Take a picture.
You just spent weeks to make this model look good. You actually take pretty decent pictures with an iPhone, actually, compared to a lot of other people. And your backdrop looks like shit. It's like taking a picture with your family. You're all dressed up, but your fucking bottom of your pants is hanging out your fly. That's what it's like. You just fucked it all up.
That's a strange metaphor.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Oh, having a stain on your shirt.
I'll get a new one, okay?
Go to Staples, buy 10 things of Oaktag, and it'll cost you $8 Canadian, and then you have a new backdrop.
How much is
a pack of 10 sheets of Oaktag? What do you use for your backdrop?
It's just construction paper, basically. Poster board or whatever.
Oh, you don't call it Oaktag in Canada?
We don't call it Oaktag here in north of Philly.
Poster board.
We call it Oaktag.
What the hell is Oaktag?
You never heard of Oaktag before?
No.
I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
A first on this podcast. Hold on a minute. Debbie. Debbie.
Uh-oh. He's breaking out the big guns.
I need you a minute. Everything's okay?
Okay.
This is the first. You might actually make the podcast. No, Debbie. She goes, I look crappy. It's an audio podcast, Debbie.
She's got a face for it.
All right. When you get the big piece of white paper that I get, what is it called? Thank you so much.
Oak Tag is a color, so
they're like they never heard of Oak Tag. These people,
Oak Tag is
poster board, maybe
vanilla, vanilla folders made out of Oak Tag.
Oak Tag, thank you.
So, a quick Google search says another name for pattern paper is Oak Tag. It's a strong cardboard suitable for tags or posters,
right? I've always called it Oak Tag ever since I'm a kid, so
that sounds like a colloquial thing. Because down here, we call it poster board.
You call it poster board, you call it Oak Tag. It's like potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
I never thought of checking Staples, actually.
If you go to Michael's, they have the section with all the Oak Tag or poster board.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have a deal, like it's three for like a dollar. And I get like blue, black, and white.
Yeah, that's the three colors I have.
And right. Sometimes so you just have the semi-gloss side, too.
Right. Semi-gloss and flat. And then you just put, you do is you buy like five of each. That way when one gets dirty and gets broken down, you throw it out. Or you just keep it, put it to the side. I put it on my desk sometimes to cut. All right. Well, no, you're doing a good job on that. So I'm breaking your balls about the pictures. And that Mark V really looks really good. And I actually have that kit as well, and I'm going to give it away. So, because I'll never build it. So for me, I've been busy. I've been full-fledged in the room. And those have been with me on a weekend. I've been putting time in. I finished that Samoa. The German captured Samoa. It's actually going to be in this issue of Military Model Craft on the Bench article, which is pretty cool because you'll see a bigger write-up than you would have saw on Facebook. So you have better pictures, bigger pictures, and you can see what I did and how I did it. I am painting right now. I am in the midst of painting. Those who have been following my Facebook page or me on our group, I've been painting my SU-76i. And it's been going really, really good. Oh, I'm getting claps from the guys, but you won't be able to hear it here. I'm getting the golf clap, but I am painting, and it's going really good. Painting with 8K real colors. And I'm going to say something, man. 8K real colors. The 4BO, and I before I painted and started painting the base color, I tested out all different 4BOs. The 4BO from Mr. Hobby, the 4BO from 8K real color, a mixture of Tamiya colors, 4BO, mixing, you know, certain greens and so on and so forth.
Have you tried the Mission Models 4BO yet?
No. That was not in the arsenal. I did not have any Mission Model paints to try.
I can bring some to you.
I did try the Vallejo and the 8K third gen. I just didn't want to go the acrylic route. I wanted to go the lacquer route. So I felt like 8K real colors, their protective 4BO was excellent. Great color. I just added a little satin varnish to it and progressively lightened it with a little, you know, Dunkelgelb and a little white. Now it's all been base coated. It's all been highlighted. It's all going to be lost because I'm going to be doing a very distressed whitewash on it. But I've been doing the chipping, which I love doing. And those who know me, like Steve Santucci, I might spend like a month just chipping the model. Like I'll chip a little here, a little there, move around here, and I'll keep moving around until I'm done. And I do that so the randomness still stays there that I'm, you know, I use a 000 Winds Newton 7 brush, and I think it's the best type of brush to chip and stuff. Little sponge, but mostly all brushwork. I'm having a blast, and I'm hoping to put up some progress pics of that soon, and I've been having a great time. New kits, anything that I've bought lately. I got a couple of accessory sets. I love, like, mini art accessories. So I'll always pick up, like, you know, when I'm at the hobby shop, I'll always pick up the 1/48 scale jerry cans or oil drums or whatever, and toolboxes or milk crates, things that I can always add to stowage on the back. Little things that really add to your model. I like to hoard a little bit because you never know what you're going to use. And I like to always keep them in my arsenal. I do recommend that. I also recently, I got the new Tamiya Panzer 4F with the Africa Corps. And I'm going to have a out of the box and build review of that for Military Model Craft. I don't know. It's not going to be this issue. It's going to be the next issue. So I'm going to be doing a little build article on that. So that I'm looking forward to it. And I just recently picked up two things. One, the Mini Art 1/72 scale Stug 3G, which I'm really curious to see how that is. It looks really, really cool if anybody's seen it. I know that Alex Clark, who I recently spoke to, is going to be a guest on a future episode. He is probably the best 1/72 scale person. If there's anybody who's been able to maintain being the best at something in a specific scale, it's Alex Clark in 1/72. He must have got it early. He used 3D printed tracks, so I was checking that out. So I just recently got that. And I also recently just ordered the Yakumo Spanish weathering style from Ammo. Kind of felt bad for kind of giving Meg a hard time on the Lincoln Wright episode. So I was like, you know what? I'll contribute to it a little bit. The book looked interesting. They're using those new Atom paints. Justin, have you seen that, Rob? Justin?
I have, yeah.
They're supposed to, I want to maybe try them out. They're supposedly like kind of have like the same, like a lacquer type consistency to it, even though it's acrylic. So this book is with using those paints.
Yeah, Panzermeister did a review on them and he liked them.
I wanted to get the book just to see. I don't usually buy books.
I mean, it usually helps when you can read, so.
Yeah.
You got big pictures. There's a lot of pictures.
As long as there's pictures, you'll be all right, Rob.
I didn't get it to read about the technique. I got it to see how what the paint looked like for the end result or something.
Is it a pop-up book?
Yeah, I'm sure. You open it up and there's like a big castle comes out in the middle.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, so I just recently ordered that and that's pretty much it. I mean, we're just getting ready. Like we said, we got the show season starting. So we'll have a lot of vendors. The local show, we have Norris Con coming here, Mosquito Con after that, and then the AmpsNat. So there's going to be vendors to buy a lot of stuff from. Usually I like buying paints and things at those vendors and stuff like that. So tools. But that's pretty much it on that front for on the bench and as well as stuff that we recently bought. So really quick, we're just going to talk about a few things that are upcoming that's not new kits. So for me, I'm just going to just say, by the time this airs, I've already done a live soldering demo on Zoom. And it also was recorded and it's going to be on my Rob Rives Modeling Insanity Facebook page, as well as the Rob Rives Modeling Insanity YouTube channel, showing a 2 hour or so demo for soldering. So hopefully that goes well. And if anybody wants to see how I do the soldering, I might try to keep it as basic as possible, but also showing how soldering is a useful and necessary tool in our modeling arsenal, especially when it comes to doing photo etch and bigger parts of photo etch. All right, Justin, I know that's something that I know that you've been coordinating with the other podcasts is also
trying to anyway.
Charity event. Let everybody know. By the time this airs, it already happened, but we're going to be preparing for it. So what is it?
Yep. So this year, we're starting our journey and joining in with the 48 and 48 for the Models for Heroes group build that is put on by the Model Officers Mess Facebook page that is run by, I believe it's James Skiffins and Malcolm Childs over in England. This is one similar to Scrooged, where they're going to hop from different time zones and check in on everybody as they build throughout the 48 hours of this build. This is all for Models for Heroes. By now, you will have all seen it, but there is auctions going on. I'm hoping that we do some good for this charity. And then next year, I'd like to push a little harder and to be even more involved than how we've gotten to in this stage.
It starts in England with Malcolm and James.
Correct.
And then it moves over to us then here in the States?
I think they're going to pop over to us, Darren and Scott from the Geeks and the Posse, respectively, are the two managers for the American contingent of this live broadcast that is spanning the globe. So they'll pop over to us. We're going to have TJ, D-Ran, a whole bunch of guys. They're going to have a Zoom set up for live, all that jazz. And just follow the sun around the globe. They'll go over to New Zealand and Australia.
But that's where it ends, though, right? It ends with the guys in Australia.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, as far as I know, they don't have any Japanese or Middle Eastern contingent to pop into.
All right, so that's cool. I mean, that should be fun. I mean, it's for a great cause. They raised almost $10,000 last year, they said.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to the one that the Black Rifle Model Works did in the fall, where they collected kits for kids. So it's similar to that, but this is all the proceeds are going to veterans and right, keeping them on the straight and narrow, helping them through any of their troubles that they have coming back into civilian life.
Right. I think that's a great cause and
absolutely,
I'm happy to help out. And I'm really looking forward to it because everybody knows that I love 148 scale, especially armor. So this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, 48 yeah, hours, get a 48 scale. It doesn't have to be armor. It can be anything 48 scale, right?
Correct. And again, the whole premise behind it isn't picking a kit you can finish. It's really all about the raising the awareness, raising the money, and having fun as a community.
Thanks, Justin. All right, so we're looking forward to that. I also know there's other group builds going on. We just started one after our episode 12 with Lincoln Wright, right? The Mach-K. So let us know how everything's going with that, plus the Red Sled Studios with Rob Burnside and those guys over there as well. So give us a heads up.
All right, so the World War I group build with Rob Burnside over at Red Beach One Studios is still going on. I did do a figure. Got a lot on the bench right now, so I do have Sopwith Camel in 32nd scale that I kind of started as just a filler that I'm thinking about bringing out of mothballs just to keep going with that group build. Nothing too serious on that build. But we also have the Machine and Krieger group build. That one's going to be a little bit of a competition. We did... Frankie Donati is enjoying this one. He's become smitten with the Machine and Krieger property since our episode with Lincoln Wright. That's when that group build kicked off, and it runs until the Falke release in July. I don't know if there's a date set for that release yet, but so we'll just target that completion for mid-July right now. But I do have a photo album set up on our page for all your unstarted kits. So if you're interested in getting involved in this thing, take a photo of your unstarted kit, throw it up in there. After we get it back from Amps Nats, I'll throw up a folder for completed builds, or if I see some guys finishing up some builds, I'll do it sooner. But yeah, if you put something in that finished folder, we will have Lincoln Wright get involved, and we'll all take a look, we'll find our favorites, we'll talk about our favorites, and we will pick some winners for some goodies, some Machine Krieger hot stuff.
So we know the first prize is going to be the Luna Combat book signed by Lincoln Wright, right?
Is that going to be our first prize?
Well, that's one of the prizes, right?
We're going to get. I thought we were thinking of the Luna Combat book, get that autographed because it'll be coming right from him. Thought we could also give away the new Falke kit that's coming out. And I think he also has a Grosserhund kit coming out as well soon.
Yeah, whatever the new kits are, well, those will be up there. And Lincoln Wright's going to, like, listen, if anybody's going to judge that knows what he's doing, it's that guy.
It's that guy.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on really quick. So we're going to go to new kits in the news. I know there's a couple of things coming out, but I don't know if there's a flood of new kits just yet, right? Has this been a crazy month for new kits releases? I don't know.
Not
is
it like really. A quiet I didn't time? See a lot.
So who's got anything new kit in the news-wise that wants to talk? Put your hand up. Who wants to talk? Justin, you just talked for 3 hours. We're going to go somebody else first.
I mean, I don't mind going last.
Mr. Santucci, we're going to start with you.
There has been a flurry of stuff. You guys just don't pay attention.
All right, you're the guy.
MiniArt is pumping out kits. And I know, Rob, you got really excited when this was posted on our page. They have a kit coming soon. It's the Sturmgeschütz 3G, April 1943, Alkett production, in 1/72nd scale, better known as Dan's favorite Braille scale size.
Wait, did you hear what I said? I just bought it.
You did?
Yeah, I got it coming in like 2 days. I got it from Sprue Brothers.
Oh, nice. Nice. See? Look at that. And it's going to sit on the shelf like everything else.
Was that the Friday production or the Monday production?
I think it's the Wednesday. You know what they say? Never buy a car made on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
Does that stay true for German cars? Because they suck no matter when they were built.
Exactly. Because they're drinking every day. MiniArt also released, coming soon, their M3 Stuart light tank initial production in 1/35th scale. They also, for those of you in 1/48th scale world, they're releasing a scaffolding set. Looks more modern, but you could probably sneak it into other stuff. It's on wheels. And then, of course, they just recently announced, keeping with their theme with the three-wheeled German vehicles, the Tempo A400 series, they did a Lieferwagen bakery van with different variant decals. Some of them look pretty cool. So that's MiniArt. Tacom just announced their Stu 42 and Stug 3G mid-production 2-in-1 Blitz kit by Tacom. They also have a Stug 3 storage and equipment set they just announced. It looks cool. So if you're looking for some new stowage, they have that coming up. And they have, for those of you who are fans of the naval guns from the naval ships, they released a MK-45 model 4 5-inch 62 naval gun. And what scale is that?
72nd is what all of them have been.
Yeah, and they did the JMSDF MK-45 Model 4 5-inch 62 naval gun, again, 1/35th scale. And this is fascinating for those of you. I mean, they did the German flak tower, that huge German flak tower. This is the Don 2N pillbox ballistic missile defense radar. And it has a bonus anti-ballistic missile system, the A-235. And it is in 1/350th scale. So those are some of the new kits MiniArt Tacom's put out that I've seen so far.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that 1/72nd scale Stug. I mean, if it's done well, I know that Alex Clark did it, like I said, and he actually did like 3D printed tracks for it. So I don't know how good the tracks are. Usually in that scale, it's kind of rough. And MiniArt plastics aren't always the best. So we'll see what happens. Anybody else? Mr. Adams, anything new?
No, I don't got nothing new to report this time. I've been working so much, I haven't had much social media time to fucking keep an eye on things, but
yeah, okay. Mr. Donati.
A couple. Justin mentioned the Machine and Krieger, which looked pretty cool. And that's actually the newest of their drones, if you will, which is it's being called the Maskenball. It's a variant on the Grosserhund. So they've announced that in 1/20th scale from Hasegawa. That's going to be coming out shortly. And it looks pretty cool. The artwork on the box, it's got the old skull sort of venom look on it. Looking forward to that one. Heller's got a new tooling of a Panhard. So speaking of Obscura, I've never built a Heller kit. I wouldn't mind doing this. I kind of like armored cars. So the Panhard 178 AMD 35, Heller's doing a new tooling on that. I did also notice that Border Models announced a 251-1D half tracks, always popular in 1/35th scale. And outside of that, I think that was about it. Lots of aftermarket, and the 3D guys are turning out quite a bit of product, but the main manufacturers, it's been a little bit less. And Tooch, you forgot MiniArt also doing 1/48th scale wooden pallets. Long overdue. Long overdue, my friend. That's it for me.
Because I'm so tired of making those out of coffee stirrers.
How many sections of scaffolding do you get in that set?
I think it's 2 or 3.
Okay. And with the planks and everything?
I believe so.
Yeah, God forbid you use actual wood for making wooden products.
We discussed wood. Real wood doesn't really look in scale.
Like I said, they're more modern, so they have a diamond plate.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
And ladder, the metal one. So if you're doing like Mach-E, you're doing sci-fi, or if you're doing like a V2 rocket in 1/72nd scale, this might work.
Yeah, it looks like it's two sets of scaffolding. Yeah. There's only 5 sprues in the box.
Justin, what do you got? New kits.
So I found a couple of 1/72nd scale kits. Hot Special Hobby is putting out a Westland Whirlwind Fighter Bomber Mark I in 72nd scale. I'm not much of a 72nd scale builder, but this one looks pretty cool. And Italeri is also putting out an EF-111. That's the electronic version of the F-111 Aardvark. They're calling that the Raven, and that is in 1/72nd scale as well. I did see SBS Model does have a 48 scale biplane flying boat thing. It's called the Machi M33 Project. Actually, that's kind of up my main street. I like that one. That's it.
I've been hearing a lot of talk about that Machi. I think that kit is a long overdue and anticipated. I've heard a lot of guys talking about that one, so that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I only saw that, you know, I didn't dive deep into looking at it, but the side view shot of it almost looks like a biplane version of the Catalina.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been hearing some chatter that like it's pretty anticipated, so it looks pretty cool. And nice. I got a Catalina, right, that I want to do, so maybe it'll be gateway drug into this thing.
What scale is your Catalina?
1/72nd.
72nd. I have Airfix 72nd scale in the pile too.
Listen, man, we're queued up for one buddy build.
I know, right?
Do we have to do two now?
Did we just become best friends?
We're besties forever.
Now that's about it for new kids in the news. So for our listeners, what is that email address? They can leave the hate mail for Rob Riv for not liking Mission Models, or even what you think I'm stammering too much. Let me know.
That email address is modelinginsanitypodcast@gmail.com.
Right. So I think we got to put this in the show notes and change it up. I think I did already.
I think last episode they were in there.
I changed it. So it is modelinginsanitypodcast@gmail.com is the new email for the podcast. That way everybody can access it, except not just myself. So moving on, we are going to go to upcoming shows. So I'm trying to gauge when this episode is going to be uploaded. The Can-Am Con 24. So I'm going to skip it. Amps Nationals is in between this, but this is the other IPMS show, which is the Can-Am Con 24. And I'm reading this from my good buddy, Ron Hogue. And Ron Hogue runs the chapter that's running this show, and it's the Can-Am Con 2024. I read this on the last show. It takes place at 7846 Williston Road in Williston, Vermont. And it is sponsored by the Mount Mansfield Scale Modelers. So again, that's Can-Am Con 24. It's on Saturday, April 20th, and it's at 7846 Williston Road in Williston, Vermont. So this next upcoming show is also out in the distance, Model Mania 2024. And this show takes place on May 4th, 2024 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's located at the Stafford Center on 10505 Cash Road in Stafford, Texas. It's a Region 6 Southwest show, and it's sponsored by the IPMS Houston chapter. What's interesting about this is it takes place on May 4th, so we know what May 4th is. May the Force be with you. So one of the show themes is Star Wars, as well as Adversaries. And they're also going to be doing a Best in Show Mecha Award they're introducing this year, as well as they're implementing a gold, silver, and bronze and feedback sheets for the show. But again, it's on May 4th, 2024, Model Mania. So hopefully anybody in that area can make it there. And lastly, the AMPS National Convention. It takes place from Thursday, April 11th to Saturday, April 13th. And it's at Century Center 120 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard in South Bend, Indiana. Again, we just had John on the show at the beginning of the podcast to discuss this show. And this is the show, the IPMS International Convention. I will be there. Santucci will be there. Justin will be there, and Frankie Donati and Rob Adams are traveling from Canada, so they will be there. We will have a podcast table there, hanging out with everybody. The Plastic Posse will be there, as well as the Mojo guys. So we'll all be there. We're going to have a nice dinner with everybody, so hopefully people can come out for dinner on the Friday, hang out, introduce yourself if we don't know you, and have a blast. Can't wait for that show. We're going to have a great time. So again, that's Amps Nationals in South Bend, Indiana. That's April 11th to April 13th. So that's the new shows coming up. There's other shows, a lot more, so I recommend going on the IPMS USA calendar to take a look and see what's upcoming. I did not read them all. We'll be here for hours, and no one wants to hear me talk for hours. So we are going to move on to our last segment.
Hey, Rob, before we jump into that last segment, the MFCA show, first weekend in May. Let's get that thing going. We are at a hotel, the Radisson, in Trevo's, Feasterville, PA. It's Friday the 3rd and Saturday the 4th of May. Come on out. We do have an ordnance class as well. So you, even if you're not a figure guy, you can bring out your tanks, your aircraft, your cars, and put them out for display as well.
Thanks, Justin, about MFCA. And I do wish I can go, because that is, if anybody's never been to MFCA, it is an amazing show. And there's some amazing figure painters, diorama makers.
World class.
World class. You walk in there and it's humbling. When you walk in there and you see the skill set of some of these people and what they're able to achieve with a paintbrush and paint, it's pretty remarkable. So we're going to move on to our last segment, and we're going to talk about our social media shout-outs. Thankfully, Rob Adams is not getting a shout-out, so I don't have to worry about that. And Frank Donati is on the podcast, so I don't have to hear about a shout-out for this guy. So, Mr. Santucci, who is your social media shout-out for?
It's Frank. No, it's not Frank Donati. Because you put him on the podcast, so I can't give him shout-outs anymore.
No more.
My shout-out goes to Bill Huffman. If you've been following our page or any of the World War I pages, I think you can't miss his work. It's unfreaking believable. He is building a World War I diorama to end all World War I dioramas. It is multi-levels underground. On the top, it's got like the trenches. It's got a rear area with the entrance into the underground. It's got a Copper State Lanchester armored car that's sitting there, figures all over the place. It's got the elevator shaft. It's got a mid-level and a low level. It's absolutely incredible. And I think he also lights them up as well, so he can illuminate them in the darkness as well. It's just unbelievable, the level of detail, the time, patience that he has, and just the story he's telling with this is just unbelievable. So if you haven't been on our page, go look. I post his updates and his ads on all the time, but my shout out goes to Bill Huffman.
Dude, what's more amazing about that diorama, above and beyond that, is when the Posse guys were out west for that show up in Seattle, and they took a stop off at Bill's house, and they did like a little video there of his fucking build room.
Well, it's more like a workshop.
Okay, fucking workshop. I mean, Christ. I mean, Bill does amazing work as it is. That diary you talked about is fucking amazing. But the build room or build shed or build workshop or whatever the fuck he's got is amazing. Like, I saw that. I had to turn it off right now because I was like, my life sucks. I mean, I'm fucking sitting on a floor with a fucking little mat and a little light trying to build. And this guy's got, like, you know, Ebbets Field over here fucking building models and shit. So if anybody doesn't know what Ebbets Field was, it's where the Dodgers used to play before they moved to L.A. But it's amazing. If you saw that workshop, pictures of it, or that video, Frankie, did you see that video?
I did.
Amazing.
I did.
Amazing. It makes Rob Adams' huge room where he builds look like a bathroom.
Yeah, it does.
It's how big that fucking thing was. All right, so Mr. Donati, who's your social media shout-out for?
Mine is a gentleman named Robert, I'm going to probably mispronounce, but Robert Julda, that's C-Z-U-L-D-A. I actually saw him on, he's on the MMU, but I actually caught his work on the Los Angeles Model Maniacs Facebook page. He does 172nd, he's out of Poland, and he did a, you know, Vietnam-era mule with a recoilless rifle. It's brilliant. He's got a matchstick next to it. It's in 172nd scale. That looks like it's his scale of choice. But everything he does, he photographs them really well. The work is immaculate. And you know me, I do dabble in 72nd quite a bit, the smaller scales. He did a T-72 in this Chinese camo with a reference pick. It's brilliant. He did a Lancia. If you get a chance, look him up. Like I said, he is in the Model Makers Union. He's not in our page, but he posts a lot in the Los Angeles Model Maniacs Facebook page, and his work is out of sight.
Oh, so I'm going to take a look at it. So, Mr. Ryan, who's your social media shout-out for?
This episode, I call it out Bob Smith. even though it sounds like a generic name, he is a real person, and he is really knocking out of the park the Hetzer that he's working on. I just finished this Hetzer, and he is working on the same Tacom late Hetzer, and his looks awesome. He's got it in Dunkelgelb, and he's just rocking this. The weathering is spot on. The rust on the exhaust is amazing. Yeah, it's Bob Smith. Look him up. This Hetzer is awesome.
I've seen it. That he is doing a really good job on that.
Yes,
I
sir.
I saw pics of that. That was really nice. All right, Mr. Adams, who do you got?
I got a guy from Model Makers Union, Craig Flynn, and his page is called Flynnburger, and he did a Benda second scale Y-wing. I don't know what he's talking about with PE, but he says it's got lots of PE lighting. Yeah, it's just a very, very nice build. I'm sure Mr. Blatton's going to be all over this one. Nicely weathered, not overly weathered, and the lights look very convincing in the nacelles. Yeah, it's really nice. If you're into the Star Wars stuff, it's very, very nice job.
Yeah, now I got to take a peek. All right, so my social media shout-out is for, love his work for years. He's very inspirational when he's painting. He just did a JS2 Sheldon McLeese. So Sheldon just finished this JS2. Sheldon did a great job. I'm almost positive that he posted it in Model Makers Union page for you, Rob, and our Modeling Insanity page for us.
Yeah, he's in the MMU as well.
He did an amazing job on this JS2. It is a Tamari kit. He used upgraded defenders, the tracks, the barrels. He used MIG ammo, 4BO, Artist Oils pigments, mix of mud, Alpine figures, and Evolution figures. I mean, spot on. Like, if you're going to build a JS2 and want to bang it up and dirty it up, take a look at Sheldon's JS2. It's very inspirational. This guy's an amazing modeler. I definitely look up to him with his painting, and something that I would love to do on my kit, especially Russian armor. It's just a bang-up job. All right, guys, so that's going to end it here. So, you know, this was a good episode, a little nice little break. When this episode airs, we're going to get ready for the Nationals, so there probably will not be another episode until everything goes well at the Nationals. We're going to try to do an episode from the show. I'm going to emphasize the word try. We're going to see how it works out and how it sounds. If it sounds good, we're going to stick with it. If we do it and it doesn't sound good, we're going to can it. Like one of Justin's models that he screws up and he throws it in the garbage pail. That might be the episode. What's that?
I don't ever do that.
I do it sometimes. I haven't done it in a long time. We're going to do a live episode. If it does well, it sounds good, we're going to release it. If not, we'll just move on and have a nice little recap show. We're going to have a recap show anyway. But this will air before the Nationals. So again, if you make it to Amps Nationals in South Bend, the Modeling Insanity guys, us, we will be there with a table, but we'll also be roaming around, participating, judging, hanging out, having fun, going to the bar, having drinks. Hopefully everybody that's attending is enjoying themselves and having a good time. And that's the whole purpose of that show. And we're there to have fun. So if you see us, come introduce yourself. All right, guys. So on that note, we're going to sign off. Obviously, you listen to us, but you can hear us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, as well as YouTube Podcasts. You can find me on Rob Riz Modeling Insanity. You can find Ryan on Ryan's Random Model Works, right?
Absolutely.
You can find Frank Antonati at The Model Logger on Facebook. And you can find Rob Adams at Rob's MMU Studios. And you can find Steve Santucci nowhere because he doesn't have a modeling Facebook.
Probably page. In a bar dressed like just like a revolutionary.
But you can find him on Facebook at Steve Tooch, two E's in Steve. And again, I'm your host, Rob Riv. I'm with my co-host, Mr. Justin Ryan.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Mr. Frankie Donati.
Catch you on the flip side.
Mr. Rob Adams.
Enjoy.
And Mr. Steve Santucci.
Later, Gators.
All right, guys, we're out. Hopefully everybody's safe. And we'll see you next time.
You got nothing to worry about, Rob. I've got a Nexus card. I'm a preferred visitor.
Did I say two fingers? You better make it three.
Fucking Jesus Christ.
The difference is I get lube, Rob. You don't get lube. That's the way it works.
Oh, that's a big difference, man.
It is.
Hey,
it is.
But sloppy seconds, so.
Yeah, no.
Nobody likes to dry. I mean, Rob likes to dry.
We were having such a grounded
discussion. I just derailed this entire train.
And I told John that we were like the Opie and Anthony-ish type Howard Stern version of a modeling podcast, and we just went off the rails. Poor John's absolutely shaking his head in disgust. Look at him.
Oh no, I'm just chuckling at things.
Well, didn't you hear what I said on one of those podcasts about the fact that like I was like, what did you eat? And they're like, oh, we had McDonald's. I'm like, dude, it's a Revolutionary War reenactment. You're bringing food from a fast food joint to eat there? You should be living. He's like, oh, no, we don't always do that. I'm like, bullshit. You should never do it.
You should be cooking squirrels over. You should be cooking squirrels and fucking squads and shit.
If you're going to be committed to the cause, you're committed to the cause.
He only does it for the groupies. He's only doing it for the women. That's it. It's that simple.
Oh, yeah. The bitches fucking love that shit.
Yeah. Oh, hearken ye hither thee. I have syphilis, yon man. Take it from me.
Too bad you can't just give it away. You just share it.
Yeah, basically. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Is there any strip clubs in the area, John? Any good strip clubs?
I have no idea.
You and your strip clubs. Jesus. You're almost as bad as Andreano.
Yeah, there you go. Naked. Yeah, build up the naked model.
Naked models.
I'm joking. I was, come on. Don't ever compare me to Steve Andrews.
So tell me why I'm a bad friend, Rob.
How much time you got?
probably until your birthday.
The list is long and distinguished.
Yeah. Long.
Donati, man. What the fuck's with that shirt you're wearing?
Ooh, me?
Terrible shirt. It's not flattering. You know what you look like in that shirt? You look like an 80-year-old woman who's not wearing a bra in that shirt.
Jesus Christ. Them old big old floppy titties. Holy
shit. Do a side profile for me. Let me see if that's if that shirt's appropriate. Turn to the side.
Your side, not my side.
Side profile. Can you turn to the side?
He wants to see them titties. His mouth is watered.
Oof, Maron. My God.
Dems is all right.
Definitely.
Mine are bigger.
All right. From now on, there's going to be a dress code prior to coming, or the camera needs to be turned off.
Yeah.
That was just fun discussion. I actually was looking at Donati, and I love that Donati's got his hands, arms crossed across his body now, because now he's self-conscious at the fact that he looks like, you know, my 103-year-old grandma wearing a movie.
You know what? Fuck this. I'm taking...
Oh my God. Somebody get this guy a pastrami sandwich.
Someone get me 90
fucking Todd on you, man. I'm going full Todd.
I got to fucking... I need to wash my eyes out with saline solution or something. Anybody got any?
That's not what you said when you were on my OnlyFans site.
For our Machine and Krieger group build. You have a question?
You're right over there? You're fucking stuttering a lot today.
Yeah, no,
don't be nervous.
I'm not nervous.
This is episode 14, for Christ's sake, and you still get nervous talking in the microphone.
It's not nerves.
Stuttering.
It's the ums. It's not stuttering. It's ums.
You're umming and you're stuttering, man. You're worse. I should get fucking Eric the Stutterer from freaking the Howard Stern show on. Not Stuttering John. He was ostracized, but Eric the Stutterer, we should get him. Talk to me. All right. So, Mr. Donati, who's your social media outfit? Fuck.
What did Lou ever do to you?
Poor Lou. I hope I don't forget him at the hotel again. And
I'll make sure we don't forget him.
Yeah, we love Lou. We should actually go to Brad's house the night before and fuck that house up with Tooch and Chris Green.
Fuck that house up.
Leave a fucking Cleveland steamer in the top of the toilet.
Oh, no. Yeah, upper deck that motherfucker.
Leave him an upper deck. Where's the smell coming from?
That is cruel and unusual. Punishment.
We love Brad. I'll leave him an up. You know what? I'm going to leave him an upper decker in the hotel. I guess the hotels don't have a top part of the toilet.
Sometimes they do.
I'm hoping they do. I might have to get into Brad and Dr. Dave's room and leave him a surprise. All right. Anyway.
Don't punish Dave.
Yeah, that's true. He's a good guy. Not Dave, but Brad. We got to punish Brad.
He's with Brad. That's punishment enough. Come on.
Yeah, look at that guy. Not on. Oof.
So, Adams, go into your local Michaels and ask them if they have Oak Tag and see what they say to you.
You know what? Fuck you, Justin.
Not right now. We're too far apart.